പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കാം. വചനം ജഡമായി തീർന്ന ഞങ്ങളുടെ വാഴ്ത്തപ്പെട്ട കർത്താവേ, ഈ മനോഹരമായ ദിനത്തിൻ്റെ പ്രഭാതത്തിൽ അവിടുത്തെ കുഞ്ഞുങ്ങളായിരിക്കും ഞങ്ങൾ ഒരിക്കൽ കൂടി കർത്താവിൻ്റെ പാദപീഠത്തോട് ചേർന്നിരിക്കട്ടെ. ശ്രേഷ്ഠ ഗുരുവായ യേശുവിൽ നിന്ന് കേൾക്കുവാൻ പഠിക്കുവാൻ അവിടെ ഞങ്ങളെ സഹായിക്കണമേ. അവിടുത്തെ വചനത്തിലെ അത്ഭുതങ്ങളെ കാണുവാൻ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കണ്ണുകളെ അവിടുന്ന് പ്രകാശിപ്പിക്കണമേ. ബലഹീന അടിയനെയും കർത്താവിൻ്റെ കാര്യങ്ങൾ സമർപ്പിത കേൾക്കുന്ന മക്കൾക്കായ സ്തോത്രം ഞങ്ങൾ ഒരുപോലെ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കണം. അവിടുത്തെ വചനം ഗ്രഹിക്കാൻ ആവശ്യമായ ദീപകൃപ ഞങ്ങൾ മേൽ പകരണം. യേശുവിൻ്റെ നാമത്തിൽ തന്നെ
ആമേൻ.
പ്ലീസ് ബി സീറ്റഡ്. ഫോർ അവർ ഷോർട്ട് മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ ദിസ് മോർണിംഗ് ഐ ഹാവ് ചോസൺ ദ സ്ക്രിപ്ചർ പോർഷൻ ഫസ്റ്റ് തെസലോണിയൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 5:21-22. But test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. സകലവും ശോധന ചെയ്ത് നല്ലത് മുറുകെ പിടിപ്പിൻ, സകലവിധ ദോഷവും വിട്ടകലുവിൻ. The letter of Paul to the church in Thessalonica was written around AD 50, after 20 years after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and 20 years before the Gospel of St. Mark. And it is the oldest, very oldest extant piece of Christian literature. Apostle Paul visited Thessalonica during his second missionary journey along with his companion Silas. Thessalonica was the capital city of the Roman province Macedonia, about which we can read from the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 1 following. There we read, after Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, argued with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. That's what we read in the book of Acts chapter 17 regarding the visit of Apostle Paul to Thessalonica. But because of some difficulties they faced there in Thessalonica, as we read in the book of Acts, there were some extreme Jews. They rose against Paul and Silas, and they triggered other crowd against them, so they had to leave the city immediately. They couldn't stay there for a long time. Even though the time was relatively short, Paul developed a deep familial affection with the believers or with the Christians in Thessalonica. And Paul himself writes in the same book we read in chapter 2, verse 8, he says, you have become very dear to us. And chapter 3, 12, again Paul says, as we abound in love for you. And throughout this small letter, around 14 times, Paul addressing them as my brothers and sisters. And in some instance, Paul claims himself as their mother and the father. In chapter 2, verse 7, there we read, we were gentle among you like a nurse, tenderly caring for her own children. And chapter 2, verse 11, again Paul says, as you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children. And in verse 17, again, Paul compares his separation from the Thessalonican church as a orphan separate himself from his own family. So he had a very deep friendly relationship with the believers or the Christians in Thessalonica. And it is obvious that Paul had a very serious concern for them, for the newly evangelized Christians in Thessalonian church. And really he wanted to visit them again, but unfortunately he was unable to do so. Therefore, Paul sends his faithful companion, Timothy, to the Thessalonian church to encourage them, to support them in their spiritual growth and in their Christian life. And Timothy stayed with the Thessalonian believers for a long time. And when he returned to Paul, he returned with a report generally positive that we can read in the chapter 3. Positive report, most generally a positive report about the life and ministry of the Thessalonian church. But there was a hint in his report regarding the deficiency of faith in Thessalonian believers, Thessalonian Christians. That was something alarming for Paul, and that prompted Paul to write this letter to the church in Thessalonica. The deficiency of faith in Thessalonian believers. In chapter 3, verse 10, there we read, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore what is lacking in your faith." But that was something painful for Paul to hear, that the Thessalonian believers, they have a deficiency in their faith. What caused a lack of faith in Thessalonian believers? What was the reason behind that? Why did Timothy bring such a report about this newly evangelized Christians in Thessalonica? Now, when we read this book, it's clear that the Thessalonian peoples were not people who are, they were not the people who received gospel with a single sermon or just witnessing a miracle. No, not at all. Rather, they were the people who had very serious arguments and debate with Paul. That's what Paul says in chapter 17 of Acts. He says, there we read, and Paul went in and as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days argued with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Messiah to suffer. So three Sabbath days, Paul had a continuous debate with the people in Thessalonica. They were arguing. And they received the gospel only after a strong conviction that Jesus is the Messiah. So they are not simple Christians. They were not just fascinated by a long sermon or just, you know, astonished by seeing a witness. Rather, they kept on debating, arguing about the scripture, and they got convinced and they became the Christians. So they were not, you know, simple Christians. But still, Timothy says, now they have a deficiency in their faith. Still they became backsliders. Even after receiving gospel with such a conviction, deep conviction, still they became backsliders. That was something worrying Paul. What was the reason? It was simply that they got influenced to certain false teachings. That is the reason. That was the reason. Even though they were so strong Christians, at a certain point of time, they got influenced to some false teachings. The false teachings to hold on to the old traditional rituals. There were some other Jews, they influenced them with the teaching that it's okay, it's fine, you have accepted the Lord, you have become Christians, everything is okay, but still you need to practice some old rituals. And they were influenced by this teaching. That was the reason of the deficiency of faith in Thessalonian believers. The rituals of mourning for the dead, they practiced in the old days in the Judaism, the Hellenistic background. They practiced mourning for the dead. Even after their burial, they began to mourn for them, and they had a lot of rituals regarding that. And they began to practice it again after becoming Christians. And there was sexual immorality among the Thessalonian believers. They still practice the pagan custom of life. And the false teachers taught them that it is okay, it is fine. You don't need to give up this, all this. These are things you are practicing for such a long time, so you can still have it. And they got influenced. And that is the reason Timothy finds the cause of deficiency in the faith of the Thessalonian believers. So when we look into the biblical history of the early church, every early church, whether it is in Thessalonica, in Ephesia, or Romans, or Corinth, wherever, they had very serious internal problems. They faced very serious internal problems, and that adversely affected their spiritual growth. That's why the apostles, you know, they kept on rebuking them, warning them to grow in spiritual maturity and in Christian discipline. That's why they kept on writing letters to the early churches. So every church, early church, you go to Corinth, Romans, Ephesians, or Galatia, wherever, they all had serious internal issues related to matter of faith, matter of worship, Christian discipline. That's a fact. So likewise, so the scripture reminds us, likewise, all denominational churches we could find around us even today all have their own internal issues and struggles on matters related to faith, mission, and ministry, and so on. It is a fact. We need to accept that. So I want to tell you this morning, you may argue with me, but I would say it is a fact that there is no perfect denomination anywhere in this world. There is no perfect church anywhere in this world. That is a fact. Why? Because we are living in an imperfect world. And you won't find a perfect denominational church anywhere in the world. Within the last 25 years of my ministerial life, I have come across people saying that I am leaving my church. I am leaving this church to join with another church which is a perfect one than the present one. And I have witnessed people simply leaving the church, saying that that church is the perfect one, not this one. I don't feel secure in this church, so I'm going to join in that perfect church. I have seen many people saying, and some of them are quitting the church. But there is no perfect church in this world. The early church, churches are founded by the apostles. They visited often these churches in the Corinth, Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. They were preaching, teaching, but still those churches had internal problems. The world-renowned speaker and the Baptist pastor, Charles Spurgeon, once made a comment. I just want to read that. He said, "If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join in it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still imperfect as it is." This was one of the wonderful, you know, statement made by the Charles Spurgeon. He says that if the moment I join in a church, if it was a perfect church, then I had become a member of it still. For it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. That was the statement made by Charles Spurgeon. So what I want to urge you, what I want to remind you from by reading through the book of Thessalonica, Paul is asking the believers in Thessalonica church to be a faithful Christian wherever you are. You stand firm in your faith wherever you are. Being a member of church, we are called to live a faithful Christian life. When every member of a church commit themselves to be a faithful Christian, then that church becomes the perfect one. That's our call. That's why Paul asking the believers in the Thessalonian church to, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. He's asking the people to stand firm wherever they are. It is not the denomination. It is not a church or denomination or a style of worship or liturgy that determines our spiritual life. Of course, it has an influence. I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree. But the most important thing, the ultimate thing, is our personal relationship with the risen Lord. That really matters. If you don't have a very personal spiritual relationship with the Lord, no matter we go to a big church or a small church, it doesn't make any difference. That's very important. The Paul Yonggi Cho's church is known as one of the biggest church in the world. It has 700,000 members. I have visited that church a couple of times. Biggest church in the world. The same day, I mean, if you go to some villages, there were churches with two families or three families. So no matter where we are, member of a big church or a small church, if we really don't have a personal relationship with the risen Lord, it doesn't make any change, any difference. So Paul is asking, hold fast to what is good. You stand firm in your faith where God has placed you. Don't jump here and there. No church, no pastor, no liturgy, no denomination in the world is going to save you. Your eternity is determined by your personal relationship with the Lord. That's very important. So Paul is very straightforward in making his comments. So in this, by winding up his letter, 1 Thessalonians, in these few sentences, Paul gives around 16 advices, 16 advices to the believers in Thessalonica. First one, he says, respect those who minister among you. Then, be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idlers. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Do not repay evil for evil. Always seek to do good to one another and to all. And 8, rejoice always. 9, pray without ceasing. 10, give thanks in all circumstances. 11, do not quench spirit. 12, do not despise the word of the prophets. 13, hold fast to what is good. 14, test everything. Don't be carried away by different teachings or message. Test everything. 15, hold fast to what is good. And 16, abstain from every form of evil. This way, Paul warns the believers in Thessalonian church, asking them to stand firm in the faith. Grow in personal relationship with the risen Lord. Do not quench the spirit. So this morning, as we are called as a community, church, for me, church is not a denomination. Denominations are human made, whether it is CSI or Anglican, Roman Catholic, Marthoma, Jacobite, so Pentecost, whatever it may be, they are human made. For me, church is only one church. Church is a called out community. I often teach in my children in the confirmation class. It's a called out community called by God for a purpose. Apart from all caste, tribe, creed, language, everything, God has called out a people. That is a church. And we are called to be the members of that great church when the Lord returns. So we need to develop a very personal relationship with God, to grow spiritually every day, to walk with Him, to walk according to His word. May God bless us. Amen.